What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HR&P guest line. We're joining us now, Pro Football Hall of Fame voter Howard Balzer, our guest. Howard Balzer, how did you like the Super Bowl?
Well, it was a pretty good game, although there wasn't a whole lot of offense in it, except for some different moments there. But came down to the wire, and just like the previous six games in the playoffs, so that was pretty much. I think pretty much every game there in the ending was decided by 3 points, except for the overtime game, which was decided by six. But basically, that's obviously tied at the end of regulation. So consistent end to the season, matching up those previous 2 weeks.
So, Howard, how much dancing were you doing during the halftime show?
I didn't do a whole lot. I did some listening and I did some watching, but I will be the first to admit I didn't do a whole lot of dancing. It was interesting. My wife said to me afterwards, "I didn't like that." Well, why? Just because you're not a fan of the music? I mean, I think it was still a pretty darn good show, and that's all that really matters for the halftime.
It's an interesting conversation I think we'll save you from, Howard, because I've got friends of mine I grew up with that suddenly were just completely like animated about how much they hated the halftime show. And I'm like,
really?
It was awesome in terms of just whether you like the music or not, it's the production too. And it was fitting that from a Super Bowl, the NFL finally got with the times.
Yes.
You have to do something for us because we have a producer that's from Detroit that has been a converted Matthew Stafford fan. and now we want to know, Matthew Stafford validated his career to the point where he is now going to end up in the Hall of Fame?
I am stunned. Maybe I shouldn't be stunned, but I am somewhat stunned by this conversation because all of a sudden after the game, I start reading all that on social media. Then I did an interview earlier this morning, and I was asked that very same question. And I'm saying, how can a guy who was not even mentioned as a potential Hall of Fame previous to this suddenly be on the winning team in a game? Yes, great end of the game drive, but they were mediocre, before that. Yeah, they did get the two early touchdowns, but it was the defense that kept them in the game. If it wasn't for the defense, then that last drive never would have, might have happened, but it wouldn't have mattered because they would have been further behind. So I just don't get this sudden anointing to put a guy in the Hall of Fame with one Super Bowl win. I mean, heck, I go back to, now granted, it was a different time and place, so you didn't roll up yards, but I mean, heck, Phil Simms was on a winning Super Bowl team, was a darn good quarterback for a long time, and man, he's been in the seniors pool for years and years and years. And I know people point to the numbers. It's oh the numbers. He has all these yards and all this. Well, hey, let's be real about it. And I realize it wasn't his fault that they didn't win in Detroit. There were a lot of other reasons, but a whole lot of those passing yards, A, were at Calvin Johnson when he did have a Hall of Fame receiver, and B, a lot of them were in games when they were so far behind that they just had to throw the ball all the time because they also couldn't run. And so I know that's not his fault they didn't have a running game, but how important were a lot of those passing yards? And they were in the playoffs a few times, so they were decent, but I don't know. I'm not ruling it out, guys, because I'd love to hear arguments if he becomes a finalist at whatever point, but I don't know that one Super Bowl should elevate someone to all of a sudden being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Okay, so with that said, he still has a career left to be played.
Yes,
if he gets the Rams to another one, or does that change things? Because it's the Vince Carter theory, right? I mean, he could play long enough to where his statistics rank in the top 10 in all-time passer quarterback rankings in certain areas, to where a lot of people that have votes like yourself that are going to go, how do you keep a guy out that's statistically in the top 10 in some pretty significant categories?
No, that it's a great point. And so more years and potentially more shots at a championship could perhaps change the, you know, adjust the narrative. I mean, heck, I was in St. Louis for the greatest show on turf with Kurt Warner, and as great as that was, it was a short period of time. If he doesn't go to Arizona and take another team that was in the depths of despair and take that team to the Super Bowl, even though they didn't win, I would doubt that he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So, you know, every case has to be looked at individually, but you still do compare to other players. And heck, in the next few years, we're going to have Phillip Rivers coming into at least a discussion and a conversation. Eli Manning, whose one loss record for his career might be not much better than Matthew Stafford. I haven't looked at it. I know his was 500 in games that he started and his team's record. But yes, there was the two Super Bowls. Phillip Rivers never got there. Should he be, you know, not considered because they had some really good teams when he was with the Chargers, but they would always lose usually to the Colts or the Patriots in the postseason. So there's going to be in the next several years a lot of interesting discussions when it comes to some of these quarterbacks.
Howard Balzer joining us on the HR&P guest line. Real quick, one more Hall of Fame question. What were your thoughts on Andre Johnson, obviously best receiver in Houston Texans franchise history, one of the top two players in franchise history, not getting in on the first ballot?
I was surprised. Well, A, there was no first ballot guys, and if you want a quick stat, this is only the third time since 1997, 25 years, or actually I guess it's 26 elections, that no first-time eligible players were elected in, only three times since 1997. I was somewhat surprised. He did make the initial cut to 10, and I was surprised at that for this reason, because the other guys who got in have all been guys who have waited a long, you know, quite a while. Richard Seymour was the shortest wait of any of the other guys. The other ones have been eligible for 10 or more years, and three of them for 16 or more. Andre Johnson made the cut to 10, and in a year where a lot, like I said, the sentiment seemed to be guys who waited, I was a little surprised that Torrey Holt and Reggie Wayne, 3 years a finalist for both of them, 8 years eligibility for Torrey Holt. I was a little surprised that Andre Johnson jumped the line over those two guys in terms of making that cut to 10, because those other two guys did not. So, and I had a lot of people come up to me in the last, you know, after the, you know, in the last week saying they were surprised by that for both Torrey Holt and Reggie Wayne. So Andre Johnson is going to get in. The question is just when, but most everyone believes that when it's close between players, and I think that you can have a difference of opinion. Some will say Andre Johnson is better than both those guys. Some will say Torrey Holt is better than this one or whatever. A lot of different rankings. But when it's close, most of the time it goes to a guy who's waited the longest. And so, and by the way, guys, you still have two receivers, Anquan Boldin and Steve Smith,
yeah,
that were also first-time eligibles in this class and didn't even make the final 15. So I was just surprised that a wide receiver didn't get in, no matter who it was.
See, that's why, Howard, I was thinking you almost had more qualified or worthy candidates that didn't get in this year's class than those that did, because I think it goes to what Richard Sherman said on a podcast in the last couple days, where he basically said it's a participation trophy now to get in the Hall of Fame. And you, again, as an expert with a vote, I'm curious your thought on this. He said that if you just play long enough or do the right things, everybody's going to have a chance to get in. And I don't think it's quite to that level yet, but I think that even from a guy, I'm a Packer fan, and I watched Leroy Butler. Leroy Butler was one of the best safeties in the 90s, but I don't know that Leroy Butler was top of his class, and I never considered him a Hall of Famer, but he got in. And some of those guys like you that I thought deserved it, like Torrey Holt and others, and Reggie Wayne, I thought those guys were actually going to get in well before he would ever get in.
No, you raise a good point. And like I said, I you know, Sherman might have gone a little too far with that, because I think, you know, all the guys in the top 15 were very, very worthy candidates. And you have like a DeMarcus Ware, great pass rusher, first time eligible. Jared Allen has now been a finalist 2 years. So it's tough, though. I mean, you have all these different positions, all these great, you know, excellent players. But I will say this, and there are some who said this, that in a lot of respects it's become perhaps the Pro Football Hall of the really, really good instead of the elite. And that a good argument can be made for that. But let's remember, they've had a rule for years and years that four have to get in from the modern-day group, every year. And so some would argue that it's been devalued, that the Hall of Fame should be the elite of the elite, the guys you don't even have to have a discussion about. You don't have to convince anybody. You just say Jerry Rice. You know, you just say Peyton Manning. You just say the name, and you don't even have to have a discussion. But if you did that, your Hall of Fame wouldn't have a whole lot of people either.
Howard, real quick, can you make some sense of the Kyler Murray drama that's going on in the desert?
I'm trying, but it's hard to make some sense of it. And Kyler comes out with a statement where he says, "All you know, I don't know what this nonsense is all about." Well, which nonsense was he talking about? The whole thing began with his nonsense by scrubbing the team, by scrubbing his social, you know, scrubbing the team from his social media. That started all this discussion. And so then you get into the whole, well, he's upset, he's being made the scapegoat, and there's, you know, whispers that the team is not thrilled with his leadership and some other things. Well, that's no, you know, that's not a new story. There's been things said about that for the last couple of years. And so it's just an odd thing. But you can make the case, guys. You can make the case that the things that some are saying that points fingers, does this, does that, you know, has to work on his leadership and some of these other questions. You can make the case by him doing what he did on social media and, in effect, confirm what everybody's saying. Because most would agree, and I agree with that. And when you're the quarterback, yes, he's only played 3 years in the league. That can't argue with that. But when you're the quarterback, you're the face of the franchise, you have to be a little bit above the fray, I think, in terms of being that face of the franchise. And though I think Kyler Murray needs some people close to him to tell him the truth and say, hey, here, you know, doesn't have to be, I don't know if players can do it. I don't know if the head coach can do it, the general manager, the owner, whatever. It's got to be someone close to him that says, hey, these are things that this is the way you should handle some of this. But throwing your arms up on the field when a guy didn't run quite the right pattern and or whatever it might be is not a real good look. And I think that he has to take some responsibility for his own actions.
I couldn't agree more. I was going to say, show him the tape. You can go from the Packer game when he basically sold out A.J. Green to the fact that he's going to say that they didn't put him in a position to win when he threw an underhand backwards potty pitch pass twice in a season for pick sixes.
Exactly. The first one wasn't a pick six. It was intentional grounding, but it easily could have been intercepted from the end zone. And then, the one in the Rams playoff game was horrible. I don't care how frustrated you are. No matter how the game is going, you just don't do that. And someone say, well, look what Joe Burrow did. Well, that was fourth. That was the last play of the game. He had to try to do something. It was still a two-score game when Kyler Murray did that in the playoff game against the Rams. You just can't do that. And, you know, you don't see Joe Burrow doing it. You don't see other younger quarterbacks, you know, doing that, in effect showing up teammates on the field with the cameras. Well, you don't know the cameras on them. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, the cameras are ever present. And so those are the things you just can't do when you're the quarterback and you're supposed to be the leader of the team.
Howard, yes or no, it's okay to ask for somebody's hand in marriage on Valentine's Day?
Oh, sure. Why? Oh, yeah, of course it would be okay. Why not?
All right. Just wanted
to know. Someone arguing that you shouldn't?
Yeah, I did. You said you shouldn't do it. Yeah, we can talk about it later. Howard, thanks so much for spending a few minutes. Enjoy your weekend with no football.
Thanks, Howard.
Yeah, it's going to be a strange one. It's going to be a strange one. Thanks, guys. Enjoy coming on with you.
You got it. Howard Balzer, Pro Football Hall of Famer. A little insight on the Pro Football Hall of Fame and then that drama
going
on with
Kyler
Murray.
Thought you were going to go to fajitas next. I didn't know.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big.